You're listening to the best of ESPN New York tonight.
So, Gordon Damer, you're telling me no Bogdanovich tomorrow
night?
Yeah,
ruled out. I think he's got something with the ankle ligament or something along those lines. So, he has been ruled
ankle?
Out. Yeah.
I mean, Embiid is just wiping this team out with ankles. I know he didn't do the
foot contusion. Sorry.
Yeah.
I lost my medical degree.
That's all right. No, but you found it again. So it's okay. So yeah, I mean, you know, maybe you get a Burks. I just don't see it, Gordon.
I guess it kind of depends on
situations.
Mm-hmm.
Situations. That's crazy. I mean,
and I'd have to. I know that they are listing Mitchell Robinson as questionable. I would think that he's probably
done.
Yeah, you would think, right?
Mm-hmm.
Quick turnaround to game five.
Yeah. Yep, I would. I would think that would not be a situation. So it's going to be, listen, a lot of 40 minutes on your starting lineup tomorrow night. A lot of 40
Buckle
plus.
Buckle up, guys.
A lot of 40 plus.
How is Tibbs going to replace this guy or that guy? He's not.
He's not.
the guys that are available, they're going to all pick up the slack even more.
That's right. You know, well, listen, Embiid did 44 on one leg.
Mm-hmm.
Maxie did 40 plus. You know, it's the playoffs, man. That's what happened. So, you know, the resting is going to be interesting, how, you know, you rest guys and steal minutes and so on and so forth. You know, it's going to be interesting. It's going to be interesting on both sides. Mm-hmm. On both sides. 1-800-919-3776. Hector's in the Bronx. What's up, Hector? All right, let's go to Anthony.
Hello. Hold
on. What's up, Anthony?
Hey, what's up, guys? Just checking in. I was just thinking about the Knicks and all these injuries taking place, right? And I just think it's a shame that Jalen Brunson didn't get more MVP consideration, considering that he dealt with this all season. Mitchell Robinson out. The only other all-star he had, Julius Randle, out significant time. Major trade mid-season. And they still finish with the second seed. Meanwhile, Brunson's the engine that makes everything go. And I just wanted to give him some major props because I wasn't even a fan of the Brunson trade. I didn't understand, you know, why they were paying him all this money. And then now I got to really give the guy props. He's been doing it. And in terms of Thibodeau's rotation, I don't think it's going to be an issue of him wanting to open a rotation, but more of an issue of foul trouble. So it'll be interesting to see what happens if Embiid starts getting these guys in foul trouble.
Yeah, you're right, Anthony. And that is going to be a situation. I mean, Gordon, I haven't seen a guy pick up fouls that quick in a long time. In a long time. I mean, every play down, he picked up a foul, Hardenstein.
It did seem that way, yeah. And he did so well in the first half.
Yeah.
You were like, oh, well, great. You know, didn't burn any in the first half. We got some room to spare. That room to spare went sideways pretty quick.
It's almost like Hartenstein believes he has no answer for Embiid. You know what I mean?
Mm.
It's almost like he kept falling
into the same trap.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like, I got to stop him from scoring. I got to stop him. He can't do 50 again. You know what I'm saying? He can't do 50 again. I got to stop him. Just put your hands up. That's all you can do. You can't. You're certainly not stopping him by fouling him.
No, that's the worst thing you can do.
You know, you're parading him to the free throw line, A, and B, you're sitting on the bench.
Oh, and look, I am sure that there is going to be a red carpet to the foul line for him tomorrow night.
Oh, absolutely. Yes. No question. Hector's in the Bronx. What's up, Hector?
Hey, what's going on, Larry Gordon? How you doing?
Hey, Hector.
What a great New York sports weekend. You look at this Knicks team. A lot of people are not paying attention to how their IQ of basketball that these guys got. Hart's not shooting good. He starts crashing the boards. You know, Bogdanovich goes out. McBride starts shooting and sacking. You know, so it's like these guys are constantly mentally connected, and then the chemistry, how you just said about the big three and everything, all these other teams, the Knicks, their chemistry is on top notch. And I believe the coach, his IQ of switching up stuff after Hardenstein got in foul trouble and the fact that they was fronting Embiid really warmed him. Plus, he didn't sit down there in that game. So I think they got to keep that up in the second half, throwing as many bodies at Embiid, but also fronting him and making him work. But remember, he ain't got his legs yet. Mm-hmm. So we got to keep putting the pressure on him. And Brunson is just Brunson. Brunson just has to do what he has to do. You know, hopefully coming home, the other dudes will shoot better, DiVincenzo and Hart. But we just got to – it's a scrappy team. What we love is a scrappy team. We scrappy in New York. That's what we want. You know, I have to say, guys.
All right, Hector, thanks for checking in. Well, I'll say this, Gordon. It's real simple. This right now, the way this Knicks team has performed, they've been pretty good as a team. Somebody has always found a way to either pick up what's been missing. Somebody's missing scoring, somebody else picks up the scoring slack. Somebody, you have rebounding problems, somebody picks up the rebounding slack. Somebody, you know, there's a physicality situation or a defensive problem, we bring somebody in, they pick up a defensive slack. So sometimes with whatever you perceive a big three to be or whatever your definition of a big three is, sometimes when you're so top heavy in talent, Gordon, other people don't know what to do. Other people don't have roles. Or you can't afford a really good bench because you're so top heavy in salary.
Yeah, and so that's certainly the case, it seems like, with the Suns.
Absolutely.
And the fact that those guys really don't play together all that much, right? There's been a lot of missed time there. Well, I think that for so long, especially when Jordan was the story, the thought was, well, all you have to do is just get two superstars together. That's all you have. As if it doesn't matter who the superstars is or how their games go together. It's a blanket that will fix everything. Just get two superstars and now three superstars. Just get three superstars. And you don't have to worry about anything else. And now we've kind of seen that's not really the case. You can't just slap it together and think, oh, we'll just roll three superstars out there and it'll all fix itself. And coaching doesn't matter. Chemistry doesn't matter. Bench doesn't matter. Nothing else matters. You just have to have three superstars.
It matters.
It does.
Chemistry matters. Personality matters. Coaching matters. Everything's got to be together, Gordon. And it's hard to know when you put teams together. Gordon, you're rolling the dice because you don't really know how it's going to turn out. It should turn out right. It should work. But, I mean, you know, this is going to be the new thing now, Gordon. Let's get three guys who went to the same college and played on the same team. That's going to be the next thing.
At least with the Suns, it definitely felt like it was just throwing it up against a wall and seeing if it sticks, right?
Yeah,
like, it wasn't working already for Phoenix, so let's try this and go all the way in on it before we have to blow it up. And I don't know whether they'll be able to blow it up this offseason, but you just take a look at, they got no draft picks. They got no cap space. Kevin Durant is going to turn 38. I think he's making $110 million over the next 2 years. Devin Booker is, I think he's making $160 over the next 3 years. I don't know what Bradley Beal's contract is, but that's not one that people, you know, like if we're going to blow up the Suns, we know who's third in terms of the people that will be asked to being acquired, right? Like,
yes,
there might be teams that want, I'm sure there's lots of teams that would want Devin Booker. I'm sure there would be a lot of teams that would want Kevin Durant. I don't think that there's many teams that are looking for Bradley Beal.
Who's injured again? Who's been injured again?
Yeah, they just miss so much time. Like, it can't be this idea that, well, we'll just get three really good players and roll the basketball out and they'll fix it.
Plus, the other thing, too, they needed a point guard. Devin Booker is okay in moments handling the ball himself.
Right, but that's not really his strength.
No, he was much better when it was him and Chris Paul.
Right.
They were a little better. It was much better than, you know, you can't, that's a lot. You got to facilitate the offense and look for your shot. And, you know, it's just crazy. It's crazy.
You know, we were talking when it was Zach Wilson finally got traded.
Yes.
And we were saying he was the name that we probably mentioned more than any. Mm-hmm. I would say from this point through until the NBA season opens next year, I think Devin Booker. I'd like to buy some futures on Devin Booker mentions on all the different shows.
Yeah.
I get the feeling that that's going to be a hot name.
I wonder if we'll hear, and this is a crazy thing, because like the Pelicans are about to be, you know, they're one game away from being eliminated.
Right, they're
well.
Done. Yeah, that's over. They got swept.
So, I mean, you know, Zion.
Oh, well, Zion, it's Zion season. Zion is one that gets mentioned every. Karl Anthony Towns is one that gets mentioned every single year. There's a lot of guys that get mentioned every single year. And Booker's kind of on the fringe of that, but now with what's happening in Phoenix.
He's going to be moved to the center. He's going to move to the top.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, listen, he's been honorable mention on the Alan Hahn and Bart Scott show a lot. Alan loves Devin Booker.
Okay.
Loves him. And has been talking a lot about the situation with, you know, him possibly being here. So, you know.
Well, if you need a point guard, whether we have one of those here.
Yeah. Yeah, we do. All he got to do is shoot. We're good. We're good. 1-800-919-3776. More of your calls next on 98.7 ESPN.
You're listening to the best of ESPN New York tonight.
Merv's in Winfield. What's up, Merv?
Hey, what's up, guys? How are you? I got a few things with these Knicks so far. And one, I think, like last year's team, they couldn't hit shots against the Heat. And this year's team, you know, especially McBride, I mean, he's doing a great job. And then, you know, and they got like this 90s Knicks feel where they play tough and everyone is like doubting them, but it's like fueling them to keep playing the way they're playing. And, you know, I hear people saying, oh, they got lucky in this one and lucky. You have to have a little luck and some skill too to keep moving and beat these teams. And then you got Embiid, which is, you know, the new Reggie Miller.
Well, he's got a long way to go to be Reggie Miller.
No, he's not close, Merv.
Not quite. Yeah, I know what you're saying in terms of being the villain and playing that role and enjoying playing that role. Mm-mm. But
no, when it comes to that, Reggie Miller's a Hall of Famer.
Yes.
He's a Hall of Famer. He enjoyed the black hat, as he said.
Yes. Absolutely.
It got him going, Gordon.
Mm-hmm.
It got him going. He enjoyed it. He loved it. He lived off that. He did it real good. You know who else is good at that? Paul Pierce.
Yes.
Is another one. Oh. Great players, though, but they just want to.
Right. Well, I mean, if they're on your team, they're kind of going to love, but.
If they're not.
Kicking
you're like,
people and hitting people in this and doing this thing with the elbow and everything else.
Yeah, it's
gets away with it, though.
Well, listen, you know, he's not the first, and he won't be the last.
No.
Buddha's in the Bronx. Hey, Buddha.
Hey, what's going on, guys? Sky's not falling anymore, huh?
Well, I don't think that our sky was never fall. I don't think.
God. Well, maybe not you guys.
Well, how is our sky falling? You call the last time we talked, it was after game three. I said you asked me if I still felt like the series was over. I said they had a magical game. I think we've kept everything kind of in perspective. I can't speak for the other shows, but I think that we kept things in perspective.
You know, guys, listen. Mo Cheeks coming down, pushing it hard. You got Doc on the wing. You got Bobby Jones on the right. Mm. You know, passes it off to Doc. Doc sends it in. You know, Moses with the forearm and Kareem's back, dip up and under, basket and a foul. Sedale three, squaring up. Danny Ainge, two-piece, pop, pop, pop. Andrew Toney with the spin around and the foul line extended, gets into the free throw line and he scores. Been a long time, brothers. Been a long time. I mean, I tell you this much, man. You know, we got to three finals with the Dr. J era. He got us one. Joel Embiid, you said love is a strong word. I mean, love is a strong word, Gordon. I like Joel Embiid, but love is something that's guarded when, first of all, you produce. Second of all, you're dependable. Listen, as it goes with the Sixers and with the Jets, you cannot complain about who's in your stadium, who's in your arena, when you sell the fans hope and they leave feeling hopeless. You know, that's number one. You know, listen, I dream, but I'm not like Stevie Nicks. I don't keep my visions to myself. I've spoke about the teams I root for. I spoke about how they disappointed me. People have called in. They're like, "Boot is so negative on the Jets." Nobody cares about the Sixers here, but, you know, I have a couple of friends that are like,
"What
you know."
What were you supposed to be about the Jets?
Listen, Gordon, you and I are simpatico. I totally agree. But like you said, people were talking about Joe Douglas. Again, Joe Douglas is killing it. You know, when it comes to look, Joe Douglas and Daryl Morey, and as much as a lot of us despise Brian Cashman, yo, compared to those two guys, I mean, he's like Carmen Policy. I mean, listen, you know, Joe Douglas, it is what it is with him. Daryl Morey has skated by, you know, I have no idea how he didn't lose his job with what's taking place. And you know, it's similar to like Marks with the Nets. You know, Joe Douglas, Daryl Morey, they're going to keep getting opportunity to hire different coaches. They're going to keep getting opportunity to bring in different quarterbacks. They're going to keep getting the opportunity to bring in free agents. And I heard some people talking, and I love Chris Broussard. I respect him a lot. And he said something that was very profound, very true, and something that Ray Charles can see. He said, look, I don't think Joel Embiid will ever be healthy again for a season, or definitely not healthy again for a playoffs. So, in terms of building a team or putting a team around him or whatever, you can't trade him. The time to trade him was a couple of years ago. You cannot trade him now. You have to figure out how to make it work and how to get a championship out of him. And you were talking about the Suns. We've spoken about them before. Top-heavy teams that don't have a bench, that don't have the right coaching, that don't have direction, no point guard, all these different things. What they have to do, I heard people talking about bringing in like a Durant. I heard Kendrick Perkins saying that LeBron should go to Philly. You know, listen, these are the things that sound really absolutely asinine. When you look around in sports and you look around, especially in the NBA right now, this is a young man's game. And all of the older guys, Steph, LeBron, KD, they're not winning any more rings. If KD was smart, he'd swallow his pride and go back to Golden State, and maybe they'd have a chance to win there if they brought in a couple of young guys. But I wouldn't want any other of these, you know, so-called – well, not so-called, because these guys are stars and they're Hall of Fame players or something like that. But for the Sixers, you know, you have to build a team now, and you have to think about the team in terms of I have Joel for the near future, but I have Tyrese Maxey going forward. And see, like a guy like John Collins, who's on the Utah Jazz, they're going absolutely nowhere. He's the kind of player that the Sixers need. They need players who can defend, who have toughness, who have heart, who have grit. I mean, listen, I don't care how bad Embiid's leg is or whatever. Kyle Lowry playing 30-something minutes a game, it's not going to cut it. Tobias Harris, Captain Buns, there's no reason for him to be on the listen, starting? Forget about him even being a role player, but starting? I mean, it's absolutely ridiculous. They need three-point shooting, they need athleticism at the wing, and they need youth. And the reason why I would want Morey to go is similar to the reason why I would want Joe Douglas to go. When you make a certain amount of mistakes as a general manager, your job is not necessarily doing what's right or building the team for what the team needs to be. It's sort of like, let me justify my existence. Let me try to patch up this pipe with a couple of holes when it just needs to be a new vision. The guy from the Warriors, Myers, he left. And they knew he needed to leave because they needed a new vision. And, I mean, it is what it is. I told y'all in the beginning of the year, this is why I was getting – and I was teasing y'all, and I was getting frustrated with, like, Knicks fans because the Sixers won one – oh, my God, here we go. Mitchell Robinson got hurt again. Mitchell Robinson is a marginal player. I don't know why the Knicks fans think he's something that he's not. You should be able to be confident that your team at the two seed can beat a pseudo seven seed and can go on and win playoff. The Sixers were never going to do anything this year, and you cannot listen to those pundits on TV because half of them don't know their booty from their elbow. You know, come on, please. Last time Sixers won something, you know, that was when Steady B was taking LL Cool J's radio.
Thanks for the phone call. When we return, Gordon Damer, We'll go around the ballpark. And we'll have a Baltimore Yankee edition of Answers with Aaron.
Oh, there should be some good answers tonight.
We'll see. We'll see. I don't know if he was in a good mood, Gordon.
No, that's when you get the best. When you get the best answers.
He with
at least
Joe
for
Girardi,
our point of view.
With Joe Girardi in the booth, he didn't expound a lot. It looks like he didn't expound a lot. He was kind of a, the Joe Girardi when he was angry, disappointed in a loss, upset. Gordon, the media would come down, he'd be at the table in the press room waiting, putting on the table like this.
Mm-hmm.
All right, let's go. And he would be gone. Three or four questions, bye, done. Yeah, so we'll see what happens. We'll find out next on 98.7 ESPN.
You're listening to the best of ESPN New York tonight.
Time to take you around the ballpark. That's what we do on ESPN New York tonight. Usually this time, get you caught up, let you hear from the athletes between what happened at with the Mets and Yankees. So, Gordon Damon, we will begin in Baltimore with the New York Yankees, who had opportunity after opportunity after opportunity, but Gordon Damon just couldn't get it done. They lose by the score of 2-0. Clark Smith pitched very well, only gave up one run. But Aaron Judge, after the game, was asked how frustrating was it not to be able to score any runs against the Orioles.
You got to tip your cap sometimes. They're making their pitches, but guys are putting the ball in play. That's all you can ask for in that situation is, keep getting guys on base and then, just try to drive a pitch when you get one. A couple guys hit some balls hard and, just didn't fall.
A hit, a big hit, my kingdom for a big hit. Right, Gordon?
Absolutely. And it just never came.
Kind of frustrating. Mm. Now, Gordon, I'm going to get your thoughts. When you looked at the Yankee lineup and you saw Aaron Judge in left field, not center field, not right field, but left field, what went through your mind?
Well, I mean, I think it's the first time that he's played left field so far this season. I guess they want to get Grisham in there and get him a couple of at-bats. I didn't make a big deal out of it. I'm not a nitpicky Yankee fan.
Okay.
Especially not before games. Now, I did think, what was it, Friday night, where they allowed Clay Holmes to pitch the one inning. Mm-hmm. He gets through the inning. I think he threw 10 pitches.
Mm-hmm.
But they wouldn't let him throw the next inning. And the drop-off was from their closer to a guy who they just picked up who's been released by four teams in the first month of the season.
That's not good.
That makes no sense. And then after the game, Aaron Boone's asked about it. And he said, well, Clay Holmes is on pace for 80 games this year. Well, he's already pitching the game. He's still on pace for 80 games.
Exactly.
That doesn't make any difference. He's already in the game.
Yeah.
Shouldn't you get the most out of him if you're worried about the amount of games he's going to pitch?
Should have thought about that before you put him
in. Right, exactly. So, no, I didn't have a problem with Judge. As long as Judge is in the lineup, that's all I care about.
Aaron Judge, what was it like playing your first major league game in left field?
It feels great when you got a guy, to your left with a gold glove that, has been playing center field at the top of the game, for quite a long time. So, we felt great out there.
All right, so he played it down. He's so good at this, Gordon. He's really so good.
You went to the Jeter School.
Yes, he did. Graduate. Mm. Graduate. PhD.
He's got a PhD, yep, absolutely.
Yes, indeed. With honors. Mm. Valedictorian of the Jeter School.
Yeah.
Aaron Judge, have you thought about this team being shut out five times this early in the season?
I haven't really thought much of it. We got a great lineup. We got a great team. Guys are getting on base. We're having great at-bats. It's part of the season. Things like that happen. We never want it to happen, but all we got to do is get ready for tomorrow.
Yeah, he's from the Bill Belichick School. Mm-hmm. That's on to Baltimore.
Yes.
On to Baltimore. Now, I enjoy this part of our segment. It's when Gordon Damer melds and merges his mind with the Yankee manager. We call it
Answers with Aaron.
Gordon Damer?
Yes.
Aaron Boone was asked about the loss to the Baltimore Orioles tonight.
I would guess he's going to go the route of, we had a lot of chances. Usually when we get that amount of chances, we break through. We weren't able to tonight. The starting pitcher for the Orioles was good. But he's not going to be concerned because he knows that he believes in his guys. That type of stuff.
Aaron Boone on the loss to the Orioles.
We had our chances tonight. Like, you know, what we have probably 10, 12 base runners. But we've had some of those nights where we've gotten shut down, where we've had a lot of traffic, and we just didn't come up with a big hit, and obviously they kept us in the ballpark. So we just got to keep giving ourselves a chance like that and trust we'll break through.
Pretty good, Gordon.
That's about as good as you get right there.
Pretty good.
You didn't compliment the pitcher, but other than that.
No, you didn't. As a matter of fact, he answered, he's like, yeah, you know, we have been shut out five. He's like, we have right. been shut out five times this season yep. so far. So it's nothing we're not used to. All right, this is the Yankee skipper on Clark Smith's outing against the O's tonight.
I liked a lot of what he did tonight. Feel like it was another step forward for Clark. We like what we've seen so far this season. That's a tough lineup over there. I don't think we'll get any nicknames, so mm-hmm. I'll close it out with that. That's my final answer.
Aaron Boone on Clark Smith's outing against Baltimore.
Answers with Aaron.
It was good, you know. Obviously, Henderson really stepped on one there to lead off the game where he put together a really good at-bat. I think the third curveball he saw, and he didn't miss it. So after first three hitters of the game with some really good contact against him, I thought he really settled in, pitched really well. Went that third time through against all three of those guys successfully. So, you know, he did everything to give us a chance to win tonight.
Smith went 5 2/3. Gordon, three hits a run, which was earned, three walks, five strikeouts. Of course, the home run that led off the ballgame. 92 pitches, 56 for strikes. The thing, even though he lost, the positive thing I would think from the Yankee standpoint is he got to the sixth inning, and
yeah.
now he can get to the seventh
right.
and give you a little length. That would
and
be
he got
just
out of
fabulous.
A jam in that. I think it was the
yeah.
fifth inning. He had second and third, and he got out of that. So, look, you have to like what you've seen from Clark Schmidt. He always has kind of felt like a guy who's been forced into the rotation, who really would be best used as a late inning guy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that kind of Michael King kind of weapon based on his stuff. But if you can get this type of production out of him in the rotation, that's pretty good too.
No question. Yankees lose by the score of 2-0. Meanwhile, the Mets against the Chicago Cubs. Luis Severino got the start. And he was rolling, Gordon Damer. He had no hits. So after the game, even though the Mets lose the game 3-1, Severino was asked, so when did you know you had good stuff tonight?
First pitch of the game. No, I was feeling good, even in the bullpen, you know. Fastball was, the command was outstanding. You know, even the breaking pitch, the sweeper in the bullpen was really good too.
You know, it's funny. A lot of reporters ask that question of pitchers, Gordon, over
mm-hmm.
the years, I've noticed.
Mm-hmm.
And when you look at Severino tonight, I mean, he goes eight innings. One hit, one run, which was earned, two walks, five strikeouts, to 101 pitches, 68 for strikes. And he only gives up the one run. And then what's scary, Gordon, is Edwin Diaz gave up a home run tonight.
Hmm.
And this is the second home run he's given up. The other one was, you know, the Mets had a lead. And, you know, fastball, look, everyone's nobody on base. Doesn't care. Yeah, I'm not concerned about it. And I'm not concerned about this. But, you know, it was an interesting situation where, you know, you bring in Diaz, and he actually is the one that takes the loss because he gave up that two-run home run.
And I should tell you that the Braves right now have a no-hitter going into the bottom of the eighth.
Uh-oh.
They've used three pitchers so far. Jimenez is now in there, but they're taking on the Mariners in Seattle. So there was dueling no-hitters in this game for a little while.
Wow.
But now Atlanta going for the no-hitter.
Well, I'm sure Dave Sims having the ball. On the call from Seattle with that one. Luis Severino, has your approach changed over the course of your career with how you pitch and challenge hitters?
I feel pretty good. I think before, you know, when I was a little younger, I was thinking too much about striking everybody out. Right now, I just focus on getting people out, you know, getting deep in the game. So as of right now, you know, I think I'm in a different, you know, position right now. For me, it's more important to, you know, throw innings than striking everybody out. So I feel pretty good.
Yeah, it is more important for you to go innings, especially with this bullpen that's taken a hit, Gordon, a couple of injuries
mm-hmm.
For this Mets bullpen, Drew Smith on the IL. So Once again, eight innings is phenomenal. He pitched. This is, Gordon, this is as good as Severino's pitch in a while.
Yeah, there were a lot of questions about him coming into the season. You would sign for this. If you knew you were getting this, you would have felt even better about that signing.
No question about it. So, skipper of the Mets, Carlos Mendoza, was asked about Severino's outing against Chicago. Here's what he had to say.
Probably as good as I've seen him, you know, especially using his fastball. In, out, up, down, and he was electric. So, yeah, he was one of those outings that you're going like, okay, this is the Sevy that I've known.
Yeah, and he would know, Gordon. I think he had a big, influence on bringing him over and having them sign him, because he's seen him, and he's seen vintage Severino. Where, I mean, Gordon, how many times have we spoken about it? Where it was a situation when he was Luis Severino. I mean, the velocity didn't go down despite the amount of innings he threw. If he was throwing 95, 96 in the first inning, he was throwing 95, 96 in the seventh inning.
Yeah, well, with Severino, the question with the Yankees was not about ability. It was about health. Right. And last year it was about, I guess,
everything.
The questions last year were about everything because he was just so bad. But if you can keep him healthy and pitching anything, you know, it feels like he's been around forever. He's still only 30.
Yeah. So he's got some, hopefully he's got some more good pitches in that arm, Gordon Damer, for the Mets. That's a look around the league with the Mets and Yankees. And, Gordon, with your update on what's going on with the no-no between Atlanta and Seattle, when we return, Gordon, we have a programming note. And I'm very curious to hear how this is going to go. I'll explain next on 98.7 ESPN.